Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming in Hot is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
The Coming in Hot show, as always, spanning across North America this week. Jason York in Mexico, Bobby Ryan in the United States, and me in Ottawa. We continue, however, to bring you home to the Ottawa Senators. Gentlemen, hi. I got to get right to this question for you, Yorkie, because I never know if the Wi-Fi is going to work. Can you explain the wardrobe malfunction of your bartender last night?
Oh, Raphael. Okay, so first of all, I am in Manzanillo, Mexico on vacation. Yesterday, this is Raphael. He's like, he's the bartender. He does everything at the house we're at. There's four couples here. So last night he comes over to the house and I see him strut around the corner. I'm like, where the hell did you get this shirt? So I guess the people that own the house here, one of them is a Leafs fan and they gave him this shirt because today, I've already looked. I got to go try and find an Ottawa Senators shirt so he can wear it tomorrow night for the game because he bartends every time we're watching hockey at night. But what are the chances? Like, we are in probably the most southern point of Mexico, and we see a guy with a Leafs shirt, and he's our bartender. Like, what are the chances? Unreal. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think you're not going to have much luck, but I love the effort that you're going to go look.
I'll say this, so he's excused because he makes an outstanding pina colada, fellas. Outstanding.
that gets rid of a lot of problems, doesn't it? There you go.
Yes, it does.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lot of Toronto Maple Leafs that serve drinks in the first round of the playoffs every year. So if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh. So,
not uncommon.
Wow.
Not uncommon.
Wow.
To see a guy serving drinks in the spring. Good luck, Yorkie. You can just bill Bobby if you find a jersey or anything with Ottawa Senator paraphernalia on it.
If you find it, I'll pay for that all day long.
Wally, I need your arts and crafts skills here, Wally. I'm gonna attempt to make him one. I'm gonna find some tape. I'm just gonna put Sens on a t-shirt.
All right.
I like that.
Good luck. It is funny to see him walk around the corner wearing a Leafs golf shirt.
Oh, so
I will
funny.
Say that. I'm glad you're having a good time. The Sens are having a good time, or at least they did last night against the Florida Panthers, which Bobby and I correctly predicted would be an Ottawa victory. And Bobby, I'm going to let you go first and how you what you thought of that game, because it was vastly entertaining. I will say that.
Yeah, it was a good game. The pace got really slow there for a little bit. I guess if you want to call it a period, the second period just wasn't a great period to me. It was kind of a tough watch. And you know what? I should say this. I know we talked about the Sportsnet side of things. I had to watch the Panthers broadcast And you would have thought these guys were on South Beach having a time because they were terrible. I was continuously freezing and going back in and out. So I got the game and we had internet problems down here all night. But I did think it was a good game. I particularly thought, Chabby and Brandstrom played well. And some of the top guys didn't have their best nights, but Brady played well. They controlled a lot of the pace. They did. I don't know what the shots ended up being or what they were outshot by, but you know, they kept the second and third chances down. They did everything right to win at home against a team that really I thought was going to come out with a lot more than they did. Barkov was okay. Barkov tried to take over the game there in the later stages and made some really, really heady plays. But at the same time, there's just that team's got a lack of finish going on over there right now. It was a good win. It was a really good win. Yeah. Barkov is a Finn.
Wally, you and I predicted the Sens were going to win, but Bobby went with Florida.
I was going to say, I think I went with Florida.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. I apologize. Yeah. On, I knew Wally. One of you two picked the. Okay. Sorry.
I just thought that, yeah. I'm allowed to. I thought they'd come in with a lot more piss and vinegar. Hey, how about that Forsling player? That guy's a player, man.
Hey, he's really good.
He looks good.
So, Bob, yeah. you were taking the only reason I picked first and Bob just went with Florida. I knew you were thinking Sens too.
Was.
They had the Sportsnet broadcast here, so I watched the whole game. Here's what, in my opinion, this is how Ottawa won the game. They got three power play goals. And to me, this has kind of been the theme of the season for them. Their power play is just so friggin' good. And three last night, and Søgaard made a bunch of timely saves. And Florida's so inconsistent right now. There's just something missing there right now. They should have been better. But hey, if you take penalties against the Ottawa Senators, they're going to score, especially at home. And here's my other thing watching them. It's almost like the pressure, a little bit of that edge of the pressure has been taken off. Because on that Western road trip, when they had to win those games, when they had key moments in games, squeezing the stick a little tight, just the moment just kind of got the best of them on that Western road trip. Now they come home, the damage has been done, you exhale, and I'll tell you, this is the message. Guys, all we can do is just play hard, and hopefully we run the table, and maybe 93, 91 points is enough to get in. That's exactly what they're saying, and it's unfortunate that this is how you learn, right? This is how you learn. And now they have to remember, this is the feeling we need to play with when those real big games like Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary, when those games are on the line, we need to take a breath and remember what it's like to take advantage. And hey, that's what happens with young teams. And that's why you see teams like, that's why you see teams like Montreal last night beat Buffalo. Montreal wins because right now, hey, the damage has been done. We've missed the playoffs. Now there's no pressure. So, anyhow, it'll still be exciting down the stretch here.
I want to get to that Montreal later in the show if we can. But there's a couple of players that played really well last night, I thought. You talk about Matt Søgaard. Three straight games now for him with a save percentage almost 940, I think between 930 and 940. 943, 931, 941 his last three games. He's played pretty well. But Erik Brännström, who is generates a lot of conversation, we'll say, looked really good. And I don't know how the goal was taken away for him for Brassard. Brassard's facing the other way. I don't believe he tips that shot. But anyway, Yorkie, you had a tweet yesterday about that. And so I'm just, if you would like to elaborate on your tweet, here, I'll read it for you. I know everyone loves Branny, and I do too. I think he can be a top five on a less deep team, but here's the thing. Sens are 2 years away from taking a shot. If he's not in top five, you don't keep an undersized D-man to be a PK depth guy if you're serious about winning in the playoffs.
So, yeah, here's the thing with Brännström. I think he's playing really well right now. I think he's an NHL defenseman, but I think he's miscast in Ottawa. And for me, look at a guy, and my point of the tweet before that. He's playing so well right now that there's going to be a lot of teams in the league that take notice of Erik Brännström. And what I got so many replies last night. One of the guys like, well, what team's he going to play for? If you go look at a team like Anaheim, he's in their top four. If you look like a team like Arizona, he's in their top four. Look at the Montreal Canadiens for that matter. There's Columbus Blue Jackets. My point with Brännström is if you look at the rest of the blue liners on this team, you're not gonna get much for a Bernard Docker, for a Lassie Thompson. They're more of, nobody knows what they're going to be yet. And they just went and gave a $600,000 signing bonus to Tyler Cleven. Tyler Cleven is going to play for the Ottawa Senators. And sooner than later, it might not happen right away, but 2 years from now, where are you projecting Tyler Cleven to be on this team? I am looking at him at least as a number five. Bobby and I said it yesterday. He's something they don't have. He's big, he's strong, he's rangy. So to me, I just wonder, where does Erik Brännström fit in the long-term plans of the Ottawa Senators? I'm not thinking about today or even next year. I'm thinking 2 years down the road. And if I'm going to have a guy play with Tyler Cleven next year, I'm probably going to sign Travis Hamonic to a one-year deal, maybe two, because I love what he did with Jake Sanderson this year. And I don't know how you can argue that. I don't know how you can argue. They just have one of the best young defensemen in the league, and he pretty well played exclusively with Travis Hamonic this year. So right shot D. My point is, you could probably get something for Erik Brännström at the draft. Probably pretty significant, but only if he continues to play like this. So I like the player. I just don't see where he fits. He's not gonna surpass Chychrun. He's not gonna surpass Sanderson. He's not gonna surpass Sherbot, and he's not gonna surpass Zub. And 2 years from now, Clevin's ahead of him. And I don't know. I'm just not, for me, if my goal is to win the Stanley Cup when it gets really tough in the playoffs, I'm not comfortable with having an undersized defenseman be my PK slash depth guy. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with just about everything he said. You need some size back there in your 5-6 slots. And you need to have guys. And I love the way that Brandy's played the last little bit here.
Me too.
It's probably been a tough year for him, you know, with the ups and the downs and the roller coaster that he's been on, from playing well to playing terrible, and you know, just going through it. We forget sometimes that he's still a very young player as a defenseman, but I do agree that I don't think there's a place for him in the top four. That's just, if you're looking at who's here and who's coming, there's just not room. And I do think that there's a place in the league for him. Now I think that he's showing more confidence. His breakout passes are better. He's making tighter plays in space. So I really like the player. I agree. I think he's probably going to be moved, and to return something for the future, but it just doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of room for him in the logjam that's going to be that left side.
Interesting to point out with Brännström, he's got 5 points his last 7 games. And since, if you remember, when they traded for Jacob Chychrun, Pierre Dorion, the general manager, said, well, it's up to Brännström to find and fight for his ice time. And he's done that. This has been the best hockey we've seen him play. I really like him offensively. I don't like him on one-on-one battles in the corners. It's that simple for me.
So, Wally, was he fighting Jacob Chychrun for ice time last? Where was Chychrun last night? He's not playing. That's the thing. He's looked good though.
He's taken that time. He's been told he needs to step. He stepped up his game. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that. He's played really well. My point is, because he stepped it up, now you could actually get something for him. I just think he can play in the league and be on a team where his true skill set is utilized. And perhaps there's some smart hockey players, people out there that can see that, because I'm sorry, he's not a PK guy on a top team that's going to win that's got a chance to win the cup in 2 years. He's just not. He's a second power play guy on a team that's rebuilding, and there's lots of teams that could use him. Trust me.
I would agree.
Sorry, the NHL just tweeted out the official scoring change of the Brassard from Eric Brännström goal. I don't know why they still gave that to Derek Brassard. But anyway, we'll move on. The other player I want to discuss, and there's a couple, but Tim Stützle, again, had another, well, it looked like another strong game. He made some great decisions, but he himself admits he hasn't played well of late, which is interesting when you can continue to put up 2 points a night. Bobby, where, how have you seen his game the last couple? I didn't think he was very good on the road. I think in New Jersey, I still played 23 minutes or whatever it was. Special players certainly get a leeway, but I will agree with him. I don't think he's looked fantastic at times.
I would agree with the New Jersey game and disagree with last night. Because when you say he makes some good decisions and you have a player of his caliber, you just expect those every night now. And that's right. Hard on a player, especially one that's 21 years old. But I thought he was just okay last night. But then you look at it and he provides the big insurance goal that really seals the game. And he's just always around the puck. So it's hard when you have expectations for him to do something so dynamic every time he gets it in space and wants to go. But I think what I like about Tim is I think that he's pretty honest with himself. And I think he's probably looking at his last few games as a snapshot going, well, I could have been better here, 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 and here. And that's a great amount of self-awareness to have at such a young age and knowing you can be better in spots. But I would agree. I think he's just been on the outside a little bit too much. And when he was so hot, the better part of the last month, you're expecting that every night. Now he's having a small regression, nothing killer, but he's playing 23 minutes a night. He's the team's ultimate number one center. So I think he can probably give himself a little bit of a break and understand that I'm just going through some of the ebbs and the flows of the season and where I'm at right now.
I don't think people understand how hard it is for a forward to play over 20 minutes a night. Like when you play over 20 as a forward, it and you're the center and you have the puck all the time and you're 21 and you're still a kid. I think he's
been impressive.
All things considering, coming back from that Western trip, this kid, he's had to carry him along with Brady. Like they've had to carry huge amounts of ice time pretty well the whole season for Stützle. I am so impressed with this guy. So impressed. For sure there's going to be a little drop, like you said, Bob. But hey, it's playing 20 minutes for what he does is hard, hard minutes. And this guy's still a kid.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely not taking away anything. His self-awareness is great and the honesty with himself is great. But 21 minutes a night at 21 years of age, carrying the offense, give yourself a little bit of a break. You've had an incredible year. Finish it strong and be ready for next year, because that's when your team's going to start to look to elevate and make the playoffs. But yeah, he's had a hell of a season. He's turning into a special player for the NHL.
11 straight games over 20 minutes, mostly over 21. 13 of the last 14 over 20 minutes a night.
Yeah,
as you say,
it's unbelievable.
It's a lot of minutes. 19 points though in his last 14 games. Bobby, I just want to, as a skilled offensive forward, he comes down the right side and cuts across the middle with a simple little, I'll say, twitch of the stick, if you will, and then he has the shot on goal in the slot. How hard is that play?
He buys himself space so well, and defensemen know that he can turn those jets on. So it is a hard play. He makes it look so easy and effortless. It's kind of annoying, I got to be honest with you, because I never had that. I was never able to do that. But it's the way he buys himself space is what I find the most incredible. It's just that simple little movement, that simple little shoulder fake to get 5 feet across. It's a much harder move and play to make than he makes it look like, because it seems so effortless with him sometimes. And his edge work's incredible.
I'm watching the game here last night in Manzanillo, and I've got my three buddies on the couch, and they're not hockey guys, and all they can talk about is like, what do you call that? Is that like, I'm like, that's his edge work. And they're just watching how he skates. And these are just casual hockey fans. And they're just like, this is a guy I would pay money to watch. And this is like, these are buddies of mine that go to the games. They have season tickets and they can't stop talking about Tim Stützle. And this is just watching him on TV. So Bobby, you said something there. And as a defenseman, I think we talked about this about five shows ago. If Tim Stützle has the puck and he's coming down on me, I got to think of a variety of different things. Number one, he can beat me with speed to the middle. He can also shoot it through me. He can also pull up and hit a late guy. But this is the other thing I love about him that not a lot of forwards do. He'll drive me wide, stick his leg out, and cut to the net too. Like, he's got it all. And as a defenseman, I end up just backing up because I don't want to look stupid. Yeah. And I give this guy all kinds of time and space. That's what I love about him. He plays, he's got a little bit of a fearless factor in his game that I really love about him.
Yeah, he does. He's got so many ways to beat it. Bobby, and that's, you know, I said this a while ago. Defensemen just make business decisions. Shoot it through. Right? I'll screen my own goalie. Yeah, it's either me or you back there, bud. It's not going to be me.
I know you guys both talked to former players, and Bobby obviously more current. Is Tim Stützle a topic of conversation in the league as he is outside of it? Do we know?
You know, a couple guys that I've played with in Ottawa have brought him up when we talk about the Sens and where they're at. And it's unanimous that everybody's just so impressed by him. I guess that's all I'll say. Nobody really goes into detail. We just, you know, when I talk to some of the guys, we'll talk about the game and a player on the ice if they happen to be watching, but everybody brings Stützle up and just says how dynamic he is and how good he's going to be. Cause I mean, this guy's not even done growing and getting stronger yet. So it's going to be very, very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to ask about the Drake Batherson play because it drew a lot of attention last night. The pass over to Yorkie's number one player. If I'm not mistaken, is that not Alex DeBrincat?
That whole play.
He jumps off the bench. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Drake's pass with the no look was great, but the pass from Brady to find Drake coming off the bench into that play was, it was just so bang bang all three plays, and then a great finish. Because you still have to get the puck in the net on a hard one timing across the ice pass, but I think I tweeted something about the play. Obviously, I watched it, and then I don't have the capability to rewind because I would have liked to see how it developed, but I think it was Timmy that kept the puck alive on the wall to get it down to Brady to start it. That was just an elite passing play from all three guys.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Guys. Do we lose him?
So we bring up DeBrincat and suddenly we lose him.
Yeah,
is that what
Yorkie's like? I need a pina. He needs a colada.
He's not. Where's Raphael?
Yeah, no kidding. But no, it was an elite play.
I'm gonna take this time. It was very impressive. Until Yorkie returns, time for sponsor reads. Then
All right.
And I'll begin with today's.
I'm back.
Oh, all right. We're going to go into sponsor reads and then come back to the sense. This show proudly presented by Betano. Go to betano.ca. Where the game starts now. Use the app and immerse yourself in the amazing world of sports with Betano. Hundreds of betting options for events and same-game parlays with Bet Builder, live in-game betting, and the most competitive odds in the market. The award-winning Betano.ca, where the game starts now. Yorkie, you can have BEI today. So whatever comes up first is whatever one you get. There you go.
Yeah. I got it here. Can you guys hear me? It's getting a little sketchy here, but here we go. You can hear me okay, Wally?
Yep.
Yep.
Dropping out here, boys. We're going to have to reconnect.
All right.
Oh, you're shocking. On, right before right before BEI comes up. Unbelievable.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, no.
There we go. I'll do this one anyway. I'll do both if I have to, but this show, as always, brought to you and held together very loosely at the moment by Renfrew Pro. It's the only cloth tape specifically designed for today's composite sticks. They use high quality polyester cot material with an advanced adhesive formulation to give you long lasting play. Available in all colors and patterns. You can find them at all major retailers or at renfrewpro.com or free tape Fridays on Renfrew Pro at Instagram. And it's the one with the green core. It's the best stuff on the market.
The original hockey tape, by the way.
The original.
So, Alex, do we get BEI back?
All right. As always, the show, again, brought to you by our friends at BEI, Bonisher Excavating, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. Still hiring across the board, laborers, mechanics, structure teams, quality control technicians. When planning your next project, consider BEI for your aggregate supply needs. You can find them at bonisherexcavating.com or at 613-432-1120. I didn't know this, but only if you work with them are you allowed to skate on Fridays. So free ice Fridays with Bonisher Excavating. Again, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. That's about it. Thank you to our friends at BEI.
Please slow down in construction zones.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There you go.
So, Yorkie, we're just about to bring up Alex DeBrincat, and suddenly you're unavailable. I just want to point out to you, last night he scored in his 20th game of the season. Do you know what their record is when he scores a goal?
It's crazy. When he scores, the Sens do incredibly well. He's a goal scorer. No argument. This guy can put the puck in the net. This is what you do with Alex DeBrincat this summer. You go have a conversation with him and you say, we'd like to sign you long term, but you're not going to get $8.5-9 million. If you want to be part of something special, if you want to be part of this core, we love you. We like what you can do, but you're not making more than Tim Stutz and you're not making more than Brady Tkachuk. And it's just plain and simple. It's the way it's got to be. And then you have more money to allocate to other important needs on this team. Anybody that thinks you're going to make him a $9 million player I'm sorry, but it's just, you can't do it.
You're out of your
mind.
And
that has nothing to do with him being a great goal scorer and all above, but you just don't do that. But you try and find a way to keep him at a much more reasonable, and maybe he wants to do that. So... And that's the point.
Ottawa
that's
Senators.
The point I've had from Dave.
I know. I just like to play around with you. They're 18-1-1 when he scores a goal.
That's a hell of a stat.
It's an unbelievable stat. But to play devil's advocate, when they really needed Alex DeBrincat to score, when the season was on the line on that Western Canadian trip, how'd he do?
He had one goal, one assist. And he was
he
minus
got a goal late in the game.
Six. He was minus eight.
And now you come
scored
back.
Scored at Seattle. Assist in Edmonton. Yep.
And now you come back. You've lost all those games. You're now playing in a similar situation in what it used to be like in Chicago all the time when you knew you weren't making the playoffs and there's not as much pressure anymore. Sound familiar?
Okay, I'm moving on. Quickly, I meant to bring this up earlier.
I had the popcorn out. I thought we were getting into it.
I'm moving saving on this for the summer.
All right.
Which D is going to play on the right side? So, right, you've got everybody says, well, you're just going to have to move someone over. So you got Chychrun, Sanderson, Shabbat, and Clevin all on the left. Somebody, if they're all playing, is moving to the right. Now, if Chychrun stays out, it's a mute point. But
yeah,
and I guess you can put Brännström into that. Well, I mean, he's number five out of three spots. Who plays on the right side? Yorkie, you're the D.
Yeah.
So coming up, I like Brännström on the right side. I like Shabbat on the right side. I think both those guys are talented enough to do that. I'm leaving Sanderson on the left side. I'm not messing with him. So for me, I'm probably moving Brännström over to the right side. He's wanted to do it before. I think he can do it, no problem.
I like that. You got a guy that ultimately asked to play the right side as a left-handed defenseman once upon a time. So if he's comfortable, that's my first step, and we're going to see how he handles that, and then I would go from there and reassess. But I don't want to take away you don't mess with Sanderson in the year that he's had. You know, and Chychrun sounds like he's going to be out anyway, but so I do think it'll be a moot point, but almost all of those guys have the capability to do it. I would just start with Brännström.
So at training camp next season, you've got Shabbat, Sanderson, Clevin, and Chychrun. Now, I understand Clevin can go down and he's on a two-way contract. I get that. But let's just say all four guys deserve to play in the National Hockey League. Are you putting Thomas Chabot on the right, who's barely played that spot?
I'm not. No. No, I'm not moving. I'm not moving Chabby, Sanderson. I'm starting that way. I would start with those guys on the left, and then you go trial and error and see who looks somewhat comfortable over there, who doesn't. You just gotta work within what you got and do it. But I would start, if Brännström's back, I start with him and go from there, because he's a guy that's always said he likes it over there anyway.
Yeah. So for next season, Hamonic's on the last year of his deal, right? If he's gonna stay, he needs a new contract, correct?
Yes. Wally?
Yes.
I think you can get Hamonic at a huge discount for next year. I think you bring him back on a very short-term deal. I love what he did with Sanderson this year. I think he did a great job. And he's not a top four. I'd love to see him as a 5-6.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Chychrun on the right side, because Chychrun, you get his stick in the middle of the ice in the offensive zone, he's got the best snapper/wrister of all the defensemen. You don't have time to take slap shots in today's NHL. You get Shabbat and him playing together, whoever it is, and you slide it across to him in the offensive zone, he's bringing that bomb to the net in a hurry. We saw the one shot, that one wrister he scored on in one of his first games. I would like to see that in the offensive zone. He's played a little bit of right before, so I'm going with Hamonic in my third pair, mentoring a Tyler Cleven next year. And then I'm going with probably Zub and Sanderson. Then I'm going Shabbat and Chychrun. Chychrun on the right side. And truth be told, I love the Sens to sign another veteran D. A veteran D, though, that can play. A veteran D that has been in the league for a while and can help that group.
Interesting. I you know what? Saying Shabbat, Chychrun, Sanderson, Zub, with another year of Sanderson under his belt, Clevin and Hamonic certainly drastically changes the look of this blue line compared to when it started this season. Massive.
Yeah. Wally, the Sens have had a good year with Hamonic playing in the top four pretty well the whole season, playing huge minutes the entire season. You move him down to your third pairing, and that's a guy I want in my third pairing. He blocks shots.
Yep.
He kills penalties, plays a safe game, and he's great with young guys. So that's my point I was trying to make earlier. Why would you play Erik Brännström with Tyler Cleven? It doesn't make any sense.
Can't.
No.
You can't. Like, not if you're a competitive hockey team, you can't.
Nope, agreed with you. I like the six that Yorkie just rolled out. I just wrote it down so I can look at it. But yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay, taking those names out of this.
Yep. Well, then you can bring along. You want to bring up Bernard Docker, ease him in as your seventh guy. Him and Lassie Thompson battle it out. You got all kinds of options. And then I'm telling you, the way Brännström is playing right now, if he keeps this up down the stretch, everyone's pro scouts are watching. You might get a late first or a second for him. And if you're not taking that, you're not a smart hockey person. Maybe. And listen, we all know at the end of the day, GM's a trade for a player. In the case, it was Dorion with Brännström. Like, depending on what happens with the new ownership, when it happens, if it's a new general manager, you're no longer going to have the attachment to that trade. So we'll see what happens. But that's just what I would do with my 60.
And we'll get to ownership in a sec. As we're seeing with Kleben arrival, possibly, perhaps some of those older draft picks like the JBDs and Lassie Thompsons and Brännström are getting passed, right? That happens in the National Hockey League all the time. If you had a choice to pick between Erik Brännström and JBD as like your seventh D or one to hold on to, which one are you keeping? And I'm going to say same money.
Okay. You know what? I'm probably keeping JBD because I know that I can flip Brännström for a little more than JBD's worth in someone's eyes around the league right now. And I like the fact that you do have another righty waiting in the wings. I think it's important to have righties. Maybe not all the time in the lineup, but guys that you can call up that can play a different role as a right-handed shot defenseman. They just don't grow on trees, right?
Yeah.
As we've talked about all year.
Yep.
Yeah. The thing I like about Docker, Bernard Docker, is he's a different player too than from your top four. Like, he's not really a puck mover. He is a puck mover, but he's more of a guy that, well, you'll like this. He'll punch you in the face. He'll be mean on you. He'll be hard on you. He's got some leadership qualities. You talk to anybody that drafted him, like, this guy is a leader, right? And he's a guy that's going to play hard. And it's a right shot too. So I would keep Bernard Docker, especially if I can get more for Brännström in a trade.
Lots of excitement in the rink last night. One with the Brady's better chant, which was always exciting. Listen, the fans in Ottawa have always been fantastic. So the knock on them all the time was always disappointing for me because they were protesting basically ownership and not this group of hockey players. But what I'm getting at is the Gary Bettman's in the building. There's lots of sales stuff going on. There is some talk. I just want to address some of the things I'm hearing on social media. There's a concern about, well, we don't know if this group is going to move the team, and we want this group because they're not. The team is not moving. I don't know how to say this any clearer. And it's not because, oh, well, you watch Gary, he hates Canadian teams. Listen, if you read the bylaws, trying to move an NHL team out of a city is really extremely difficult. You've got to prove there's no ticket base. You got to prove that there's no business community to support. You got to prove all these things before you can move a team. It's not going to happen. So I saw an argument, well, I want Ryan Reynolds because The Rock would just move the team. Well, I don't even know that The Rock cares to move the team at all. I just don't understand this whole fear-mongering. Can we, like, people, I'm telling you, the team is not moving out of Ottawa. The downtown arena will get sorted out. I don't believe, I continue to believe it's not going to LeBreton. The more and more this keeps up. Even Gary, I think it was Bettman today or yesterday, or it was Mark Sutcliffe, the mayor, I can't remember, said they might build a new arena at Canadian Tire Center and just bulldoze the old building and put up a new one. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's posturing. I just don't know that it's getting to LeBreton unless they give them more land. Those are just some of the things that are going on. And it says there's six groups, which I think we've kind of alluded to who those groups are. None of them, by the way, have local ownership as the main primary owner. So for all those people saying, well, we need so-and-so to own it, none of them have local ownership. Just keep that in mind when you keep saying, well, they're all going to move. Someone's going to move the team. They're all buying the team to keep it here. So I'm just trying to get at some points and dispel some myths. That's all. My rant is over.
100% agree with you, Wally. 100%. It's not going anywhere.
Never.
I just don't understand that argument. Anyway.
Yeah.
Finally, last night in the Montreal game, as you two are entertainers, that's why you played the game. You watched Michael Pezzetta score in the shootout. And then I haven't seen this since, well, since the 80s, it feels like. Or maybe Theron Fleury was the last guy I saw do this. He rides his stick. This is awesome to me. I love every second.
I thought it was great.
As players? Okay, go ahead.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I saw the clip last night and I was like, what is he doing? where did he come up with this? But look at him pointing it out. I have zero problem with it. I thought it was hilarious and very, very entertaining. And I'm guessing the boys got a kick out of it. The Sabres guys were probably like, man, you know, Pezzetta, we remember that for next time. But at the same time, I thought it was incredible. What a hell. That's a hell of a Sully.
I love the double point at the end. Pointing here, pointing there.
Yeah.
And look at the fans. Incredible. At the end of the day, look at the fan reaction. Okay, it's one thing if he scores and he rides the stick in front of the other team's bench and he points at their bench. I'm probably not liking that as much, but he's getting the crowd going. I got zero issues with it, and I look at the reaction. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say one thing. You got to have a lot of nuts to do this because next game.
Something's
happening.
He'll be taking some runs. Someone's coming.
This isn't like Corey Conacher, though. Like, Michael Pezzetta can handle his own in the corners as well, right? So if someone's going to do it, it might as well be him. But I like, it's the Dave Tiger Williams pointing from Vancouver. I love it. I just wish there was more of it. But as you guys talk about, someone's going to probably come after him and make him atone for this in the next game, which – I don't know if that, it just doesn't make sense to me, but like I went to cover, if you guys remember, Alex Ovechkin scored his 50th goal and he put his stick on the ice against Tampa. Was it against Tampa?
Yeah.
And he pretended his stick was on fire.
Yep.
So they send me into Washington for the rematch because Rick Tocchet, I think, was with Tampa at the time. He's like, well, someone's going to make him pay and all this, and we're going to remember this. So I go in to talk to Bruce Boudreau about it the day before, and he's like, retribution. There's no retribution going to happen. Anyway, he's mad at me for coming in to talk about this. I just remember that. I'm like, there isn't going to be. I know, but people want me to come and make this a story, which isn't there. But this whole, we're going to, it's this. Is it really that embarrassing to have players be entertaining on the ice for the other team?
No, not really. And there's, that's a good, I mean, a shootout win like that, that's a great time and place for it because it's not as personal.
Yeah.
It's not like he pointed at the bench. Yeah. So no, I think what will happen, players will have words with them next game, but nobody's going to fight them over it. It's just going to be like, hey, you know, you got away with it. It was a great story, but you do it again, then we're going to have issues is my guess. But there's nothing really there. Every time I saw something like that, I was like, well, you know what? That guy's got some balls. Good for him.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, One thing, though, that was a huge game for Buffalo. Like, Buffalo technically still has a chance. That was a huge, huge loss. And maybe pull that out. And listen, I have zero problem with it. I don't care. But maybe some guys are thinking, okay, this is an Arizona versus Montreal game with nothing on the line. Hey, go get the fans going. But you basically just crushed the playoff hopes of the Buffalo Sabres potentially by by winning that game. And then you're going to – it's like beat a guy up. Now you're going to go kick him in the nuts and ride your stick down the ice. it's a little bit of a finisher. But perhaps the timing wasn't the best when you think of what was at stake for the Buffalo Sabres. Right?
But, that's why it's better.
I'm all about the fan experience. I agree. But I got to tell you, if they play again before the season's over and Buffalo's technically out of the playoffs, someone's going to jump them for sure. For sure.
Very possible. For sure.
But listen, like, we're talking about it now, right? Everybody's, it's on all the highlights. It's everywhere. That's what this game is about. Entertainment. Let them be entertained.
Yep. No, I agree.
It is.
I agree.
Don't forget, Bobby, Wally. Hey, you? Wally, don't forget. Yeah. People, there's still a fight after, people are fighting after hits.
Yeah.
They're fighting after clean hits.
I know. Which they're talking about finally at the GM meetings of having them do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up the Montreal schedule. They do not play the Buffalo Sabres the rest of the year. So that's too bad.
All right.
Bobby, were
it
you?
Too bad.
You must have been around when PK Subban basically went in front of your bench and pulled the jersey logo at you guys. Were you? I think it was a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, in Ottawa. Do you remember this?
Not vaguely. I because I don't think we really. I mean, in the playoffs, it's like, who cares? You know, there's bigger things than this in the playoffs. But I feel like I was, but I just don't. That's how outrageous it was, because I can't even remember it, if I'm being completely honest.
I'm trying to remember.
Every time PK scored, you're like, oh God, what's coming? Like, what's he going to do now? Is he going to skate to center ice and do this one? Like, come on. It's a goal.
That to me is different.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, I really don't remember it, to be honest.
I'm trying to find it. I don't think it's a playoff game, but it was definitely something that he just showed. It might have been 2014. Pointless outrage, some people called it. Anyway, that one to me was a little bit of the in your face, as opposed to, I thought Pezzetta was just doing it for the fans as opposed to at the Buffalo Sabres. That's the difference to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Anyway. All right. Yorkie, time for you to go shopping.
Nice.
And see what you can come up with. Bob, what are you doing?
I'm off to the gym. Got a 10 a.m. So, class. Hey,
I got a question about the gym.
Okay.
What was your highest body fat percentage when you were playing?
Like 11.8. I was never like outrageously. I wasn't ever outrageously high, because I was so cognizant of it all the time. I lost sleep over it all the time, and ate like a bird and basically had chicken and salad for every day. Yeah. So I never really got up there, but it was just hard for me to lose it. Like I always carried it right in the dad bod areas. Yeah. And that's right where they pinch you. I'm like, I'd give anything to carry this differently, but, but love handles are a thing, man. Thanks, dad.
Now I heard,
fuckers.
I heard a rumor that you may have oiled up before you did the caliper test so that they couldn't get a very tight pinch.
All the time. All the time. There's so many ways to do this, man. I would go rub some shea butter on there and be like, I don't know why I'm so slippery up here. You know, you can't get a good pinch up there. Sorry, guys.
I could picture Bobby. Bobby's in the dressing room like a turkey. He's like a big turkey. There's Shabbat basting him. Over here, he's just a spot over there.
Chabby, you got to get lower on the back there, bud. But yeah, no, I was actually, I was always right on that cusp where they're like, "Oh, you're good," you know. And then like, I got down under 10 a few times, and felt way worse what I was. So like 10 to 11 was ideal, and I was just always at like 11.2. And it was so frustrating, man. And Schwartz, he can tell you, I mean, you work out with him, he could tell you how bad and how in my head I was about it. Cause I would like, and then I would stress about it to the point where, because of stress now, it was awful. It was an awful experience. Body fat day.
Telling you, dad bods never get hurt. Look at the biggest, right? Best dad bod, probably in this
Phil Kessel.
Phil Kessel. And he never gets hurt.
So true.
There is exhibit A. Of the dad bod.
But he's never in the corners.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's never met a corner he's liked, that's for sure. But
So, and Yorkie, I heard good thing. Like, you were a workout kind of guy. So, which leads me to post-NHL career. Is it tough to get motivated to work out?
I didn't work out for like 5 years after I was done. I don't know about, hey, Bob, and if after 5 years, man, you start feeling like a bag of shit, so you're doing the right thing. Don't stop.
Honestly, I'm going through it now. I found it very, very easy for the first year because I was like, now I can kind of do things the way I want to do it and, you know, not do, you know, the power lifts and things like that. I can lift differently. I can train differently. So I actually enjoyed that process over the last year, but right now I'm struggling because it's the weather, it's the winter months as well. And you're just like, do I need to do this? I'm not doing it. It's purely vanity and mental side of things now, but I have a tough time every day right now getting up and going. Yeah. Yeah. Starting to see that.
You'll appreciate that it regression. At 50.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to keep going.
50. Yeah.
I got some real good accountability. Gym. People, look at this.
Oh, look at that. Where'd that come from?
What?
Backwards sled pull. Yeah. See, this is the stuff I'll never do again.
I have to do sled pulls. I have to do sled pulls because I can't squat anymore because my knees are so screwed up. So it's either sled pulls or nothing.
Yeah. Squats. All right. Well, fair enough. Yeah.
Look at those pegs, eh? My God.
Great form, though. Hey, did you get that shirt at Baby Gap?
Oh yeah, tight shirt. Tight shirt makes you look like you're in shape.
That's it. You and Cody Ceci's dad. You guys share a closet.
He's a big dude.
He is a big dude. It's Yorkie. We'll see you next week, Bob. I'll see you on Thursday with special guests. I'm just gonna say, big special guest. We'll leave it at that.
I love it. Looking forward to it.
I've got
keep the SPF on.
I've got Wally. I've got about 1,000 emails from Branny Nation after me. They're just it's relentless.
I'm gonna give them your cell number and just you can have a chat with them.
Oh, I love that.
I'm on vacation. I don't care.
I love it. All right, see you, gentlemen.
See you, boys. Thanks for watching, everybody. Take care.
Coming in Hot is brought to you by Botano.ca. Please hit that like button and subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.